days I've been explaining to you about the spiritual master. Mostly we've been focusing on how not to recognize a saint, or how to recognize someone who is posing as a saint. There's a couple of reasons for this. First of all, we need the help of a guru, of a God-realized saint, in order to attain God, in order to know about the path to God. But to recognize who is a God-realized saint is not easy, because it's an internal situation. It's a divine state which is only internal. There are no external characteristics that you can observe and decide this person is a saint or isn't a saint. So I explained to you about several things, several mistakes that we often make. Like, we assume that a saint has to be a sannyasi. Whereas in fact, if you look at the history of saints in India, the majority were grihasthis. We assume that a saint is going to follow a certain type of behavior which we consider to be correct. Yet I gave you many examples of saints who defied those rules which we're trying to impose upon them. So we can't judge who is a saint and who isn't by their behavior, their actions, their lifestyle, certainly not their dress. Just because someone has taken a maun vrat or only eats fruit or doesn't eat anything, only lives on air, or has some kind of siddhis. Even I explained to you yesterday, siddhis are not an indication of divinity. There are three kinds of material siddhis that if someone happened to see someone who had those powers and assumed they were a saint, they would be wrong. Even the great yogic siddhis, sattvic siddhis, those are not divine powers. So if we're looking for these things, we're bound to get fooled. Either we'll ignore someone who actually is a saint because they don't fit into our stereotype of what a saint is supposed to be, or we'll accept someone as a saint who actually isn't, because they know what our stereotype is, and they easily behave according to that, dress according to that, and live such a lifestyle. I also explained to you that a true saint never gives worldly blessings or pretends to give any boon. If a saint could give us a boon, he would give the boon of God realization. He could make all the souls God realized instantly, but he can't. We have to do something. We have to do devotion to purify our heart. Then the saint can grace us with God realization. And I also told you that a saint never curses anyone who's following him or any ordinary soul, because a saint isn't trying to inflict suffering on people. A saint wants to help people. So you can avoid if you see these characteristics in someone, you can avoid that person. We don't do dvesh either. That's also important. Jagatguru Shri Kripaluji Maharaj always emphasized, okay, understand the fact and avoid the person who's not going to help you on your path. But even if you see someone you think is a fake, you know is a fake, even then, don't put your mind in that. Uska chintan mat karo. Oh, this person is posing as a saint. He does this. He's like that. Then what are we doing? Instead of bringing Radha Krishna or a true saint in our mind, we're bringing that person in our mind. So we're imbibing those very qualities which we know to be wrong and negative. Because whatever qualities you meditate upon, they become a part of you. They enter into your heart. But we need this knowledge so that we can avoid such pitfalls on the spiritual path. So let's look at the other side. How is it possible to find a saint or to recognize a saint? So first of all, it has been said, Adau shraddha tatah sadhu sangotha bhajanakriya bhaktir samrit sindhu. When the soul is ready, Krishna organizes that he will get the association of a saint. But first, we have some work to do. Adau shraddha. Shraddha, people generally take to mean faith, and that's correct. It means faith in God. But along with faith, something else comes. Because if you have faith in God's existence, then the next thing that comes is a desire to meet God. So you can say that faith also means bhook, hunger for God realization. That we have to develop. When we have that, then tatah sadhu sangah. The next step is we get the association of a sadhu. Here sadhu doesn't necessarily mean a babaji living in the forest with a long beard and braided hair. Sadhu means a God-realized saint of any kind, of any lifestyle. So Krishna arranges it. We don't have to worry that, oh, how can I meet a saint? When will I meet a saint? We simply have to increase our longing for God. That's it. When we're ready, Krishna will arrange it. Then, atha bhajanakriya. Only after receiving the association of a saint, after surrendering to a saint, bhajan kriya. Real bhakti begins. So the rest is preparation. We try to develop our desire for God. Then we keep praying to Krishna. Krishna, please, I desire you, so please send me a saint. Make it possible for me to have the association of a saint, so that I can find you. Then Krishna arranges that. We meet the saint. We accept the saint. We follow the saint's teachings. That's when real bhakti begins, according to Rup Goswami. So the finding part is up to Krishna. As long as we develop our longing, he will arrange for us to meet a saint. We don't have to worry about that. After all, that's why he produced this whole universe, to arrange such a situation where souls could gain spiritual knowledge. And how will they gain spiritual knowledge without a saint to teach them? We need a God-realized saint to gain correct knowledge. So he will arrange it. But the next question comes, when he arranges it for us, how will we recognize the saint? This is a subtle matter. In fact, we all have an ability to recognize a saint, but we have varying abilities. One analogy that can help us to understand is if you think of having a magnet and then a bunch of needles, steel needles, and you've spread these needles out in a circle, all equidistant from the center. And those needles are all of a different amount of purity, meaning one of the needles may be 100% steel, one may be 50%, one may be 25%, one may be 5%. So now you've arranged all of them, and you put a magnet in the middle. What's going to happen to those ones that are pure steel? They're immediately going to point towards the magnet. They immediately move towards the magnet. The others, some of them will move, and how quickly they move or how strong the attraction is, that depends on their level of purity. And the ones that have too much impurity, they won't move at all. The magnet is the same, but it affects different things differently. Similarly, the saint is the same, but can only affect a person to the extent that the person's heart is clean and pure. To the extent we are sincerely desiring God, to that extent the saint can influence us. So you can say there's an inner attraction This is just the initial stage I'm describing. When someone is first exposed to the teachings of a saint, even if it's not in person, even if it's through a book, through watching a recorded speech, something like that, the initial effect on the person, well, it's going to be different on each individual. Some people feel something right away, that this is special. This is beyond anything I've ever experienced or ever heard before. Some people have that reaction right from the start. Other people are interested, but they take it kind of like the same as everything else I've ever heard. Like, I like to listen to everybody, and the people that you're listening to may be saints, may not be saints. That person may not have the ability to differentiate either intellectually or by feeling. It all feels the same to them. And another person whose heart is very impure may actually feel repelled by the presence of the saint or the teachings of the saint. See, the teachings are the same. The saint's personality is the same. But it affects different people differently. It is said that if you have a nail, you try to drive it into a rock, it won't go, but it enters easily into the soft earth. So similarly, the words of a saint enter deep into the heart of someone who's sincerely desiring God. And someone whose heart is less pure, the words have less effect. So it's still somewhat subjective, you can say, meaning it depends on our inner state, how open we are to receive the divine vibrations of the saint and to receive the knowledge the saint is giving. But you can judge somewhat, meaning you have some ability to recognize, you feel some pull towards that true saint. When the saint speaks, there's something different. There's a different kind of power in the saint's words. And I don't mean the oratory skill of the saint, or even the saint's choice of words or use of language. No, it's the power within that. Like I was mentioning previously, you can, any one of us sitting here, if you have a checkbook, you can write a $1 million check. You can write a $1 billion check if you want. However much space there are to keep adding zeros, you can keep adding zeros. But what's the actual value of that piece of paper? Depends what you have in your bank account to back it up. The paper is the same. We all have the same piece of paper, but if there's a billionaire sitting in this room, then that paper has value. Otherwise, it's useless. Similarly, a saint, one who has attained God, it doesn't matter the beauty of the language or the oratory skill. There's a power in the saint's words because the saint has money in the bank. The saint internally is one with God. So he's speaking from that place. And when we speak, or anyone who's not God realized, the words may still have some value in this way, that they can give some knowledge, help someone understand something, but they don't have the same spiritual power, divine power, that the saint's words do. It's like the difference between firing blanks and firing real bullets. When we speak, when we're speaking about God, it's like firing blanks. We can make lots of noise. It has no effect. When the saint speaks, then that bullet can go straight into the heart. In other words, the words go straight into the heart and actually loosen the knot of spiritual confusions that we have. We all carry around doubts and confusions, which after having the association of a saint for some time, they just dissolve. All the doubts, all the confusions dissolve. That's because of the power in the saint's presence, personality, and because of that, in his words. That can be experienced, but it's still subjective because it depends on our openness. Like I was saying, if their heart is very impure, they'll listen to the same saint speaking and they'll either be bored or they'll be repelled by the saint's presence and personality. Nonetheless, we still can use that a little bit as a way of recognizing that, oh yes, I recognize something different in this saint's words. They have a different effect on me. The saint also influences or affects those who come close to him, and close doesn't mean physically, it means mentally. This takes a longer time. It's an experience that comes over a period of days, weeks, months, and even years. Vedavyasji says in the Bhagavatam, Satam prasangan mama virya samvido bhavanti hrit karna rasayana katha tadjoshanada shvapavarga vartmani shraddharatir bhaktiranukramishyati. He says, when you associate with a true saint, he says, satam prasangan. Prasangat means through doing satsang. Satsang with whom? With sat. He's calling the saint sat. Satam prasangan means saton ka sang. Ya prasang. Sang means to join two things, right? Prasang means to like become one, unify. So it means mentally joining with the saint. Not physically touching your head to the saint's feet, or touching your hands to the saint's feet, or bowing down. Sure, there's nothing wrong with doing that, but that's not surrender. That's not sang. Sang is done with the mind. See, we have body, mind, and soul. What is the doer of all of our actions? The mind. This is why karma is done with the mind, bhakti is done with the mind. If you're thinking of God, you're doing bhakti. If you're thinking of the world, then you're doing some kind of ordinary worldly action. If you're sitting here listening to my speech, but thinking about what NFL playoff games are coming up next weekend, then you're not doing bhakti, your mind is in the world. So it depends totally on the mind. The soul is giving life to the mind, but it's the mind that performs the actions. So what do we surrender to God? Our mind. How do we do sang with a saint? How do we do satsang? With our mind. So prasang means joining your mind with the saint. Joining your mind with the saint's teachings, with the saint's personality. And the saint is being called sat. Sat meaning true, divine, godly. So obviously, the saint has to be correct, and our sangha also has to be correct. If we do sangha, prasangha of our mind with someone who's not a true saint, what do we get? We get what's in that fake saint's heart. The one posing as a guru, what is actually in their heart? Like I said, the bank account may be empty, but actually it's never empty. The heart is never empty. It's either full of God or it's full of the world. So the one who's posing as a saint has the world in his heart, worldly desires, worldly anger. And the saint has only God in his heart. So when you do sangha with such a guru, a true guru, you're getting God. And when you do sangha with the one posing as a guru, you're getting more worldliness. From his mouth, he may be speaking beautiful words about God, but what's in his heart? Oh, I want to fool all these people into believing I'm a saint, and they should all follow me, and I'll feel great that I have so many followers, and maybe they'll give me money too, and then I can enjoy something from that. So he's got all those worldly desires and greed and jealousy in his heart, but he's talking about God because he's intellectually strong. He learned something from the scriptures, memorized some shlokas and some dohas, and so he's an impressive speaker, but in his heart, the world is there, not God. So if you do prasanga with such a person, you become more worldly, not more godly. So we have to make sure we do prasanga with the true saint. So satam prasangat. If we attach our mind to a true saint, then tad joshanat. Again, by joining your mind with the saint's mind, what happens? Three things. Shraddha, rati, bhakti. The first one, Shraddha. Here, we're defying the earlier law that I mentioned. That first you have Shraddha, then Krishna will arrange for you to meet with a saint. Here Veda Vyasji is saying, if somehow it happens that you're not even desiring for God, but somehow you get the association of a saint, and even though initially you're not desiring for God, but you're around that saint, you hear the saint's words, you hear his speeches, maybe you do some service to that saint, what happens? Eventually you develop Shraddha. Imagine, you didn't have a desire for God, but at least you weren't negative towards the saint. You were just more or less neutral. Maybe your wife was going to the saint, and you were going along, Theek hai, achha hai, bura nahi hai. So you had that kind of in-between attitude. You're not really desiring anything, but you just went. Eventually, the saint's personality is going to affect you and draw you towards God. So, see, I'm giving you some tools that will allow you to recognize not the saint externally, but to be able to recognize the saint by the effect that he has on you. So if you find you're spending time, either it may be in the physical association of the saint, or as I said, it may be simply by reading a book written by the saint, listening to chanting written by the saint, or watching speeches, recorded speeches of the saint. Over time, you may find, oh, I have more desire for God than I had before. How did that happen? That's the effect of the saint. It's not the effect of any words of the saint. It's the effect of the saint's personality drawing you towards God. So it's said that it's like a fire on a cold night like tonight. If you make a big bonfire outside, like people do on Lohri, so then, the closer you get to the fire, what happens? The coldness is driven away and you get warmth. Two things. You get more warmth and the cold is driven away. Similarly, by associating with a saint, by doing prasang with a true saint, you reduce worldly attachments and you increase your desire for God. See, a simple way of knowing. Like a foolproof way. If you're genuinely associating with a saint and trying to implement that saint's philosophy in your life, really follow it and maybe practice what the saint says you have to practice every day. If you're doing that and you're getting this kind of result, oh, I see that my worldly attachments are reducing and my desire for God has increased. that's an indication that you're associating with a true saint, because it can't happen otherwise. It wouldn't happen by associating with an ordinary person, even a good talker about God. He won't be able to, simply through his association, help you increase desire for God or reduce worldly attachments. So this Shraddha happens. Number two, Rati. If Shraddha is like bhook, then Rati is like khane ki ichha, the desire to eat. Shraddha is like feeling hungry for God. So then if you feel hungry, you have a desire to eat. What's the desire to eat? That's the desire to follow the path to God. Do sadhana. Do devotion. Before, maybe you were feeling, oh, why? Why would I want to do that? Now you're starting to think, no, but I would like to meet God. I want to attain God. So then there's a desire to do sadhana. This also comes about through the effect of associating with a true saint. And finally, bhakti. Bhakti means, like, first you had bhook, then you had khane ki ichha, you had the desire to eat, so then you did eat, you did sadhana. What happens? You start to feel full, right? You start to feel satisfied. That's bhakti. Here, in this case, bhakti, the word bhakti is not indicating the practice we do. It's indicating the next level, bhav bhakti. That when you actually practice sadhana bhakti, according to the instructions of a saint, eventually you get a... There's something that develops inside. It's called bhav. Feelings of loving excitement to meet Krishna. When you chant his name, a thrill in just taking his name, or you experience the sweetness of that name, the bliss of the name. This is all called bhav. That grows in the heart, and it actually stays in the heart like a warm feeling that spreads and stays with you throughout the whole day, and sometimes peaks when you're doing sadhana, when you're actually doing kirtan or rup dhyan. I'll be explaining more of this in detail when I talk about the practical aspects of the path of bhakti in more depth. But this also happens through the grace of a saint. When we say surrender to a saint, a lot of people ghabara jate hain. What? Surrender? Why would I surrender to any person? I'm okay with surrendering to God, not to a person. Yeah, but who is that person? That person has attained God. So you can say they're a representative, a physical representative of Bhagwan on the earth planet. An agent, a go-between. And that saint has the ability to grace a soul. Kripa kar sakte hain. So that kripa is an actual power. Bhagwan ki kripa shakti. So through that kripa shakti, the saint can help the souls invisibly. Without, irrespective of physical distance, you don't have to be near the saint, you don't have to be in the same town, the same country. The saint may be anywhere. And if you join your mind with the saint, you receive the saint's grace. You can think of it like a devotional circuit. What is surrendering? Surrendering is establishing that devotional circuit. And what is the form of surrender? Positive feeling of the mind towards the saint. That's it. That's how you make the connection. Not so scary, right? But you have to make sure it's a true saint. Like I said, if you create a positive connection of your mind to someone posing as a saint, what do you get? More worldliness, whatever worldly qualities they have. But if you create a positive connection of your mind, positive feeling of your mind towards a true saint, you get that saint's grace. You start getting divinity That's how the saint is able to influence us, and we start feeling more Shraddha, then Rati, and finally Bhakti. This happens through the saint's grace, but the saint can only grace us to the extent that our mind is positively attached to him. So that also develops. Initially, we may have very small amount of positivity towards the saint. Okay, then we can experience a very small amount of the saint's grace, and we start inching in that positive direction. Then, but that brings about a change in us, no matter how small, and we notice that change in ourselves. That gives us more faith, so we develop more positive attachment towards the saint. So we receive more grace. So you see, it's a circuit. We call it the devotional circuit. It's all happening internally and invisibly, but it can be experienced by you. And what I've just explained to you is the actual relation between the saint or guru and the disciple or follower of that saint. Not a big deal, right? I mean, in terms of the results we get, it's a big deal. But in terms of what's required from us, what's asked of us, nothing scary about that. Like I explained before, we positively attach our mind to so many people in this world. Whoever we believe may give us happiness, we positively attach our mind to them. Then we take on the worldly qualities of that person. So we've surrendered our mind uncountable times to worldly people in this world, but we've never once surrendered our mind to a true saint. Had we would have been God realized at that time. And it's not that we've never met a saint. We've met uncountable saints in uncountable past lifetimes, but we were never able to overcome this blockage that prevents us from surrendering our mind to the saint. We surrender our mind to the doctor. When the doctor says, you're sick with this, take this medicine, avoid this thing, we follow it. We don't say, what is that? That doctor doesn't know what he's talking about. He's telling me to take one pill once a day? I'll just take the whole vial, get better all at once. We don't do such things in the world, because we're surrendered to the experts. So in the spiritual field, when it comes to God, the God-realized saints are the experts. Why shouldn't we surrender to them like we surrender to a doctor in this world? Or like we surrender to our mechanic when our car is ill? Sadguru Vaidya Vachan Vishvasa Sanjamaya Navishaya Kiyasa. Tulsidas ji says the true saint is a vaidya, an Ayurvedic doctor. You have to have faith in his words, though. You have to accept them and follow them. Only then you get the benefit. So the word surrender is a scary word, but practically, how do you become surrendered? It's very simple. You just follow the saint's teachings and maintain a positive feeling of attachment towards the saint. Then you can receive the saint's grace, and you can yourself experience the benefit of both following the saint's teachings, following the path he's outlined for you, and also the internal benefit of receiving the saint's grace, which develops your desire for God and eventually leads to the experiences of bhav bhakti. So you see how you can actually, over time, by following the saint, you yourself can judge how much benefit you're getting, how much you've changed, and then you can know that I'm getting this from a saint. I'm getting this effect through the grace of a saint, so it means it's a true saint. But that takes time. We can't know that on the first day, because the saint's grace, our heart is not fully open to receive it. So the more time we spend associating with the saint, the more chance we have to experience this. And it's a growing experience. So you keep measuring as you progress. Oh yes, I'm getting more ahead. I'm progressing more. I'm rising higher. So you know, yes, I'm still on the right track. This is what we want, right? We want to know for ourselves. We don't want someone else to tell us this is a saint or this isn't a saint. This is the right path or the wrong path. We trust ourselves and we want to be able to know for ourselves. And the good news is you can know. But you have to genuinely follow and take the time. And eventually you'll get the experience if it's a true saint and if you're genuinely following. And if you don't get the experience that I just described to you, then it means either you can decide for yourself, perhaps you were not genuine, or perhaps the saint is not genuine. One of the two will be true. You also have to keep in mind that we all undergo the effect of our past sanskars. A sanskar is created in the mind every time you have a thought. In other words, every moment you're creating a sanskar. It's a subtle imprint made on the mind by a thought. So we've had uncountable wrong thoughts. We've had uncountable good thoughts. We've had uncountable devotional thoughts. All of those are stored in the mind and they come and affect our mind at different times. They reflect back into the conscious mind. You can say it's kind of like an internal destiny. Depending on the type of sanskar which is currently influencing you, you have more or less openness to spiritual things. So you may be associating with a true saint, but because you're going through a time of very bad sanskars, you're unable to experience the effect of the saint's grace, but eventually those sanskars pass, and then you're able to have experiences once you're under the effect of better devotional sanskars. And those continue to fluctuate. Throughout the devotee's life, there's always good sanskars followed by bad sanskars. They're of varying intensity and duration. So that's why even if you're following a true saint, your experiences will also continue to go up and down, but the general trend over a longer period of time will be up. So that's why I'm saying it takes time. You have to gauge it over a longer period of time and see what effect you're getting. Then you can know for yourself, from your own experience, am I associating with a true saint or not? So it's very straightforward and very logical to understand how you can recognize a saint. One other clue that you can take, I indicated to you a couple of days ago when I described about the Ashtasattvic Bhav. How sometimes, because the saint is withholding this ocean of divine bliss which he's got in his heart, sometimes that overflows and the eight sattvic bhav, the eight symptoms of that divine love or divine bliss which resides in the saint's heart, manifest in the saint's body. Evam vrata svapriyanam kirtya jatanurago druta chitta uchaihi hasatyathoro ditirauti gayatyun madavandrityati lokabahya. The Bhagavatam tells that sometimes the saint's consciousness gets drowned in this divine bliss and he enters into a state of ecstasy where he's unable to control the physical manifestation of that inner experience of bliss. Although 24 hours a day the saint is drowned in that bliss, but most of the time the saint may be controlling it so he's able to interact with the people of the world in a normal way. But sometimes it becomes more than he can keep under control. So his consciousness completely drowns in that and he enters into that state of ecstasy and that manifests physically in his body sometimes as trembling or sweat or becoming very still or tears, like a river of tears. The saint's voice may be affected. The complexion of the saint may be affected. He may even enter into an unconscious trance. He may dance in that state of ecstasy, laugh, cry. So these are all symptoms that you see manifested sometimes. For instance, if the saint is describing any lila of Radha and Krishna, or he may be leading some kirtan. So due to the effect of that divine name or those divine lilas, this kind of thing may manifest in the body of the saint. So if you're ever lucky enough to witness such a thing, you can take it as an indication for what's actually hiding, what the saint is keeping hidden within him. But because you were associating with that saint, you got to see, oh, there's something more within that I couldn't see before, and it's manifesting as these sattvic bhav. So I've given you some understanding of how a soul associates with a saint and what benefit a soul receives from that association, and how, because of the benefit you receive, you're able to judge that I am following a true saint. So there's one more question regarding Mahapurush which still has to be addressed. That is that in our scriptures we find three different statements regarding God and saint. One is that God is greater and the saint is less. One is that the saint is greater and God is less. And the third is that both are exactly the same. And we find all three of those statements in all of our scriptures. So which of these statements is correct? I'll explain to you tomorrow. बोलिए वृंदावन बिहारी लाल की yeah.